Amen. Thank you for that song, and what a beautiful song we get to sing together. I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Acts chapter 8 this morning. Acts chapter 8. And because I'm me and I like to do things a little out of order sometimes, we're going to actually just begin with one verse, verse 39, Acts 8, verse 39. If you're able, let's stand together for the reading of God's Word. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to jump in. I've been excited about this for a long time. I was really looking forward to Brother Caleb being here, probably not as much as you were looking forward to Brother Caleb being here. And I'm sorry to disappoint you today, but you're stuck with me again. But I've got good news because we've got other guys preaching tonight. Brother Ben will be speaking, and then through the week, the missionaries will be speaking, so I'm looking forward to that. But I do have some things I want to share with you that God's put on my heart, and I pray that God will just move in our hearts through His Word today. Acts 8:39 says, "And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing." Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, I pray that this morning your Holy Spirit would teach us and guide us into all truth. And Lord, I pray that as we had plans, we had things laid out a certain way, you've seen fit to do things a different way. And I just pray that you're in it, that you're working, that your Spirit will do a great work in our hearts today and throughout this meeting. Father, I thank you so much for these men who have come and are coming for the meeting, and I thank you for their faithfulness to the gospel, and I pray for not only them, but others around the country and around the world who are faithfully standing and proclaiming the gospel, loving their neighbor and seeking to do the work of making disciples, and I pray that you would help us to do that same work here. And Father, I pray that you would help me, for I'm nothing without you. I pray that you give just give grace today. Pour out your Spirit and help us to learn how that we can go on our way rejoicing today and every day. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Most of you are probably familiar with this passage of Scripture that we often refer to as Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. And we're going to look at some truths here. I was thinking when Brother Caleb called me the other day and informed me that he wasn't going to be able to make it, and of course he was really sad not to come, but just immediately God's in control, and I immediately thought about Acts 16 in verse 5. It says, "When the churches, so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not." And it's after that that Paul has the vision and the Macedonian call, and they go to Macedonia. And I thought about the fact that we have plans, we have a direction we think we ought to go, the way, we've planned it, we've prayed, we've laid some things out, but then God says, no, not that way, no, not that time, not the way you think, but the way I'm going to do it. And I just want to remind you today that God is in control. And what we want to do is not lay out our plans, but we want to get in line with His plans. We want to be Spirit-led in this business that God's called us to. Now, the past several weeks, we've been learning about being fruitful and multiplying. God's first blessing to man was His challenge, His call, His command to be fruitful and multiply. And that command hasn't changed for us as disciples. God has called us to be fruitful and multiply the disciples in this place. What that means is I'm going to be a real disciple, continuing in the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what He's called every believer to do. And as we walk with Jesus and we're disciples of Jesus, we're to be doing the business of multiplying. We're to be in the business of making disciples as we go through life. And listen, that's what He's called us to. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not even sure I know what that looks like here in Muldrow, Oklahoma. But I know it's what God's called us to. And I am confident in the Word of God that if we'll be led of the Spirit of God, God would see us do that work here. Amen. That the disciples, the number of the disciples would be multiplied in this place. We think about Philip, who in chapter 6 was in the middle of that. It starts out, "In those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied in Jerusalem, that there arose a murmuring, and they had some problems, and they had to deal with that. And they set up those men, I believe the first deacons in the church there, and though they were established, and they were men who were full of the Holy Ghost, and they were full of wisdom. And Philip was one of those men who was full of the Holy Ghost, and he was full of wisdom. And when the scattering came, he has gone down to Samaria. He's preaching the gospel. He's baptizing believers. Multitudes are believing. Great things are happening. But then God has something else for this one man to do. And I want to tell you today that one man, one woman, one boy, one girl who is filled with the Spirit of God and has the Word of God can impact the world for the Lord Jesus Christ. We can make a difference in the lives of others. Now, a lot of you guys are familiar with the old story where the man's walking down the beach, and it's after a big storm, and he sees a little boy, and what he's doing is going along. The storm has washed up hundreds and thousands of starfish, and little boy knows that now that the tide's gone out, those starfish are trapped there on the beach, and he knows pretty soon they're going to get dried up, and they're going to die there. And so the little boy's walking along the shore there, and he's picking up a starfish and tossing it back into the ocean so it doesn't die. And the man kind of looks at this for a while, and he walks up and said, "Son, look up and down the beach. There's thousands of starfish. You're never going to make a difference here." And the little boy kind of tears up a little bit, kind of hurt his feelings, but he looks down at the starfish in his hand, and he said, "It'll make a difference to this one," and he tosses it back in the ocean. And listen, when I look at the task that God's given us, that He would have us to make disciples of all nations, it's an overwhelming task. I know a lot of people look at Muldrow, Oklahoma and say, well, that's just a little bitty town, but there's over 3,000 people in our community. And we think about the regions beyond, you know, the far off places like Nicut and unheard of places like Long and Short. We think about the places and the communities where we live and far off places like Liberty, Oklahoma. And I'm just saying there may not be very many people here, but I'm going to be honest. When I look at it, it's an overwhelming task. How am I going to reach all of these people with the gospel? How am I going to love my neighbor? How am I going to invest in people's life? How am I going to develop relationship with people? And how am I going to have an impact? And the reality is I can have a limited impact, but you can have an impact. And when every one of us is doing the business of making disciples, we can reach our community with the gospel, and we can go far beyond this little area in eastern Oklahoma. We can have an impact that spans the globe when every disciple is doing the business of making disciples. And I may not be able to save everyone, but I can certainly have an impact on one at a time. And I'm excited today to consider that fact. I want you to back up to verse 26, if you would, and consider what happens here. How did we get to a place where an Ethiopian eunuch who was just traveling back from Jerusalem going home, he leaves from this place, and the scripture says he went on his way rejoicing. How did he get to that place? And listen, I believe that every one of us could get to that place where we go on our way rejoicing. We could leave here today rejoicing. We can go through our work week. You could have a Monday where you go on your way rejoicing. I see some of you don't believe that. But actually, in the Spirit of God, the power of God, we can. We can go on our way rejoicing. The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, "Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert." And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, "Go near and join thyself to this chariot." And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, "Understandest what thou readest?" And he said, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." And the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. He began to preach unto him Jesus. I want you to consider with me just a couple of very, very simple truths today. If we're going to be disciples making disciples, we have to be men and women and boys and girls who are Spirit-led. I mean, you look at the circumstances surrounding this. Philip's in Samaria, and things are going amazing. He goes down, he's preaching the gospel, he's baptizing believers, multitudes are believing. It's one of the greatest revivals we read about in the New Testament. It's one of the most exciting things. The gospel has gone from the Jerusalem, the Jews, to the Samaritans, which were kind of, a lot of people have described them as half-breeds. This is an exciting time where the gospel's moving out of Jerusalem, it's moving into Samaria, it's starting to propagate in other places. This is an incredible time. Things are going really, really good there. And it might be that a person, a pastor, a missionary, a follower of Jesus would be in a place where things are going really, really well, but the Spirit of God said, I know things are going great here, but I have an appointment with you somewhere else. And sometimes we look at our circumstances and we say, if things are going really, really good, then this is obviously where God wants me to be. And sometimes we look at our circumstances and we say, well, things aren't going so hot, so maybe God wants me to do something else. I want you to understand today, we can't be circumstance-driven. We have to be Spirit-led. Amen. Things may be very, very difficult for us while we're doing exactly what God wants us to do. And things may go very, very well for us when we're doing exactly what God doesn't want us to do. When we look at the apostles, and I read you the verses from Acts 16. Listen, when they were out there preaching the gospel, they go from place to place, and they had in mind where they were going to go, what they were going to do, but they were led of the Spirit. They said, we're going to go over here, and the Spirit said no. They said, okay, well, we'll go over here, and the Spirit said no, because God had appointments for them. He had a place for them, a time for them, and listen, people for them to reach. Now, listen, Jesus, we see the examples all the time. That Jesus went places for specific people all the time. You think about when he went to the woman at the well. He went a way that they normally wouldn't go. He went at a time that they wouldn't normally be there. He did everything so that he could have an encounter with one person. Now, Jesus is Jesus, and he knew exactly what he was doing all the time. I just want to remind you today that you're not God. And you're not Jesus. But his Spirit is in you. And we can be led of the Spirit. And we can make those divine appointments when we're Spirit-led. And the Spirit said to him, I want you to go down here. I don't know. I mean, there's no indication that Philip argued about it or had any reservations about it. He was a man who was full of the Holy Ghost and he was full of wisdom. And so when the Spirit of God said go, he went. And we've got to learn to be those kind of people. We've got to be walking in the Spirit. I believe walking in the Spirit requires at least two very simple things. One is that we have to be filled with the Spirit. We have to be filled with the Spirit. Can I ask you to look, hold your place here, but look in Ephesians chapter 5 very quickly. Ephesians 5, find verse 16. He says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This idea of being filled with the Spirit means that I'm completely yielded to Him. He gives us this picture, this illustration of not being drunk. What happens when the person gets drunk? They fill themselves up with alcohol. The alcohol permeates every part of their body, fills up their minds all the way to their fingertips and their toes, and it takes control of them. They completely give themselves, a drunken person has given themselves over to alcohol. Well, what are we to do? Well, we're not to do that, but in the same way, we are to give ourselves over to the Spirit of God. We're to yield to Him completely. We're to give ourselves over to Him. We're to have Him fill up every part of our mind, all the way down to our fingertips and toesy tips. We want to be filled with the Spirit of God. That comes to a yieldedness to Him, a giving of ourselves over to Him. Every aspect of my life, I yield to Him. I'm surrendered to Him. And I want you to notice a parallel a parallel between this, because it not only requires being surrendered, I can't be filled with the Spirit of God without being filled with the Word of God. It takes surrender and it takes Scripture. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and find verse 15. There's a parallel. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, Paul's letter to the Colossians, there's a parallel here, and I want you to see this, because in Ephesians 5, he emphasizes the Spirit, and in Colossians 3, he emphasizes the Scriptures, the Word of God. Colossians 3:15 says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Do you see the parallel? Do you see the parallel language that he uses? And yet in Ephesians, he's got this emphasis on being filled with the Spirit. And then in Colossians, he has this emphasis of letting the Word of God dwell in you richly. And I want to submit to you today that you can't separate the Spirit of God from the Word of God. Amen. If you fill your hearts and mind with the Word of God, the Spirit of God is going to move in that. We know that His Word, that He is the incarnate Word, that is Jesus. And His Word, when it fills us up, will be filled with the Spirit. And so I believe that Philip was a man who was full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, because he was a man that was filled not only with the Holy Spirit through a yieldedness to him, but he was filled with the Scripture. He was filled with the Word of God. Amen. Wisdom comes from the Word of God. Amen. There is no wisdom outside of the Word of God. And we live in a special time. Spent a lot of time, Brother James, I picked him up at the airport. That was about a week ago, right, Brother James? It was Friday afternoon, and the poor guy has spent a lot of time with me in that time. You got to pray for him. But from the time he got in the van, build on. From the time he got in the van, we have had some deep conversations, some encouraging conversations, and one of the things, just talking about the cultural context, man, we are so blessed here. I've never known a time when I didn't have access to the whole Bible. And from the time I was able to read, I had the whole Bible in my hand. From the time I was able to read, I could read the entire Word of God anytime I wanted to. And we think about that in our context today. I think about the technology. We talk about all the time. I've got Bible apps. I got Bible apps that'll read the Bible to me. I don't even have to use my eyes. I can drive down the road and listen to the Scriptures. It's incredible, the technology that we have, the availability of the Word of God. But you know, it's still not like that everywhere in the world today. There's still places where the Word of God is precious, where it's hard to get a copy of a book, much less the entire New Testament. And we are so blessed today, but with that great blessing, with that great opportunity, I believe comes a great responsibility. Amen. Because we have it available, we ought to be in the entire Word of God. We ought to be studying and understanding and learning, and the people in this church ought to be preaching and teaching the whole counsel of God. Amen. Because we have it all. And we should take full advantage of what he's given us. I believe that Philip was a man who was filled with the Spirit of God because he was surrendered to the Spirit of God, and because he was filled with the Scripture. He had wisdom because of that. And when the Spirit said go, he went. I love it. Verse 26, the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, "Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert." And he arose and went. When the Lord says, "Philip, go," he went. "Get up and go." And he got up and went. And in verse 29, the Spirit said unto Philip, "Go near and join thyself to this chariot." And Philip ran thither to meet him. I believe that every day of our lives, the Spirit of God is guiding us. He's going to convict us. He's going to speak to our hearts. He's going to put somebody on your mind. And you may not have to get up and go, but you may have to pick up the phone and call somebody. Or you may have to send somebody a text or a message. Or maybe you sit down and maybe you're old-fashioned, so you sit down and you get out a pen and a piece of paper and you write somebody a letter. Or maybe you do get up and drive across town to see somebody. I'm just saying that the Spirit of God is going to move. He's got appointments for us today, and we need to be faithful to keep those appointments. When he says go, we need to get up and go. Now, I told you before about how I was raised. we used to go visit Grandma pretty regular, and every time when we got close to Grandma's house, I knew the talk was coming. I don't know if your parents ever did that. We get close to Grandma's house, and I still understand all the things that she said. She said, when we get there, you better mind your P's and your Q's. I didn't know what that meant, but I knew it meant that I better be good. Every time we get close to Grandma's house, Mom would say, son, when I say frog, you better jump. And if I say jump, you better ask how high. Anybody else ever hear that?
Amen.
All right, yeah.
Amen.
So there was an expectation with my mom that I did what I was told to do when I was told to do it. And then she was crazy enough to expect me to do it with a good attitude. And a lot of the parents with young children are like, amen, I like that. Do what you're told when you're told and do it with a cheerful attitude.
Amen.
You'd be happy about taking out the trash. And be happy about cleaning up your room.
Amen.
And all the children said, oh no. It ought to be that keeping the commandments of the Lord are not grievous to us.
Amen.
When we talk about evangelism, a lot of times we talk about how we're afraid and we're fearful and we're scared and what if they reject me or what if I mess up and all those different things. And the more I study the scriptures, the more I look at it, I think we make everything way too hard. I think the reality is if the Spirit of God is in us, we cannot but speak of the things that we have seen and heard. That who He is in us and it's going to flow out of us. Had a great visit with the guys last night. We talked a little bit about the difference between intentional and natural. Brother Doug talked about the fact that it's got to become a natural thing. And I confess to Brother Doug that I want to get there, but I'm not there. I have to be intentional about sharing the gospel. I have to be intentional about loving people. Because in my fleshly nature, I shy away from those things. But when we're walking in the Spirit, I don't have to work hard at it. This is what happens.
Amen.
When the joy of the Lord is filling you up, you don't have to work at it. It just spills out.
Amen.
Your love of Christ and who He is and what He's doing in your life. And that's the way it ought to be.
Amen.
So when Philip comes up to the chariot, he hears him reading and he says, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I except somebody should guide me? And he says, come up here and sit with me. And he's reading from Isaiah about the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a happy coincidence.
Amen.
What an amazing coincidence that God put together. Now, some of you are like me, you don't believe in coincidences. You believe that God is sovereign and He orchestrates things divinely.
Right.
Hey, listen, He could have sent Philip, but God, knowing Philip, He knew when the Spirit said go that he would run over there.
Amen.
He knew that he would arrive at exactly the right moment. And I love it when we see God do that, not only in Scripture, but in our lives.
Amen.
How He sends us to the right place. And I love how God orchestrates those things. Now, we're knocking on somebody's door one day, and then somebody in the church is talking to them at school the next day. How does that happen? How did we end up at that house at that time and that week and everything in those circumstances? How does that happen? Because God's at work.
Amen.
And He's orchestrating things for us to be doing the business that He's called us to do because we love Him and because we love our neighbor. And so he's reading about the Lord Jesus Christ, that He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, verse 32, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened He not His mouth. In His humiliation, His judgment was taken away, and who shall declare His generation, for His life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch says to Philip, please, please tell me, is the prophet talking about himself, or is he talking about somebody else? I don't understand. And I don't know if you've ever read Isaiah before, but you might find yourself wondering, who's Isaiah talking about here? Is he talking about Jesus here? Is he talking about himself? Is he talking about somebody else? What's going on? And so that was the question that the eunuch has. And so Philip begins at the same scripture and preaches unto him Jesus. I don't know why God's designed it this way, but this is His plan. For people who believe the gospel to open their mouth and preach the gospel to others.
Amen.
what he's called us to do. That we would open our mouth and preach Jesus. That we would tell them about who Jesus is. That we would tell them about what Christ has done. That we would explain to them the death and resurrection of Jesus. That he made the payment for our sin. That there's hope of eternal life. That there's forgiveness of sin. That God's grace is available to all because Christ died for all. And that we would open our mouth and proclaim that truth from the Word of God. Philip very simply did two things. He was Spirit-led, and he seized the opportunities that God gave him. Now, God may not call you out of Muldrow and send you down to some desert place, but it may be that you're at the gas pump and there's somebody across on the other side, and the Spirit of God just prompts you to talk to that person. It may be that you're at lunch and you see somebody sitting by themselves in the cafeteria. And as you walk in and you're trying to find a place to sit, maybe you're looking for your friends, but you see that person sitting by themselves and the Spirit of God says, go sit with that person. And you can go sit down with them and you can talk to them and you can listen to their story and you can get to know them. There's opportunities around us all the time, but we've got to be Spirit-led and we've got to seize the opportunities that God gives us. Because I believe that though the task is huge, God hasn't left it to me alone or to you alone, but he does call us to do what we can do. I heard a story about a church on the island of Malta, and I'm not sure how much of the story's true. I tried to research it a little bit, but I know at least parts of it are true. In 1942, Malta became one of the most bombed places on the planet. More bombs fell on that tiny island in the Mediterranean than fell in London during the entire war. And there was a church there on the island of Malta, and there was a small group of Christians there praying as the island's being bombed. And while they're praying, a bomb crashes through the ceiling and lands and spins in the foyer of the church building. And they all just wait. They all hold their breath just waiting. And it doesn't go off. And they wait a little longer and it doesn't go off. And finally they all run out of the church building. And the next day, somebody comes back and they check the bomb and they begin to disarm the bomb to take it apart. And the story is told that when they took apart that bomb to make it safe, they opened it up and inside, instead of explosives, it was just filled with sand. And in the sand was a note. And the story is that that note said, I know I can't do much, but I can do a little bit. And the sentiment was, I can't save everybody. I can't disarm every bomb. I can't make every bomb safe, but I can this one. But I think about that. I think about the fact that the task is so big. It's so much bigger than we can imagine. But I'm telling you that God can do great things if we'll just be obedient. To follow the Spirit. To follow the Spirit. And seize the opportunities that God gives us. Amy Carmichael was criticized for the work that she did in India. She did a lot of humanitarian work. But in her response to the criticism, she said, one cannot save and then pitchfork souls into heaven. Souls are more or less securely fastened to bodies. And as you cannot get the souls out and deal with them separately, you have to take them both together. People around us, I don't know if you're aware of this, we like to talk about it a lot, how bad the world is, how messed up it is. Well, those are people. They're people with souls. And as messed up as they might be, you can't take their soul out and deal with it separate. You got to deal with it all together. And we have to love our neighbor, messed up though they may be, we've got to love them. We've got to spend time with them. We've got to take the time to care enough to hear their story so that we can share the story of Christ with them. This morning, I'm going to ask our musicians to come, and I want to ask you to stand with me. As Philip preaches to the eunuch, I wish we had the whole story recorded. Philip's one of the guys I'm going to talk to when I get there, because I want to hear, what did you say to the eunuch? Because as they're going along, at some point he says, there's water right here. Why can't I get baptized? And we don't know what was in his background. We don't know what he had seen and heard, why he would ask that question. Obviously, Philip had to have talked to him about baptism. But Philip's response is, if you believe with all your heart, you can be baptized. And he says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. His faith was in Jesus because Philip was spirit-led. He seized the opportunity. He preached to him Jesus. You and I can have those opportunities if we'll be spirit-led today. That man was baptized. The Lord snatched Philip up, took him somewhere else, but that eunuch went on his way rejoicing. He had the joy of the Lord in his soul that day. Guess what? He's still rejoicing today. He had the joy of God for the rest of his life until he closed his eyes in death and he opened them in the presence of his Savior. And that joy is available to you today. You can trust in Christ as your Savior. And that joy is available, that rejoicing is available to everyone out there. If we'll be faithful to be spirit-led, seize the opportunities, and preach Jesus to everyone he gives us the opportunity to. The Holy Spirit's convicting your heart. I want to invite you to respond today. Maybe you've never been saved. In your heart today, you say, I don't have that joy. I don't know for sure where I'm spending eternity. You can trust Christ as your Savior today. And listen, all of you who are saved, let's seek the filling of the Spirit today so that we can go and have an impact on maybe just one, but we can have that impact. He's convicting your heart. You come.
Hey, 531.